Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Kisisa. A couple stories first. Let's talk about Rav Lapian. So he was old and he was weak and it was towards the end of his life and he barely left his home. But he was invited to a certain public gathering held in Yerushalayim and he said he needed to go. So members of his household asked him why he was pushing himself so much. He said with emotion, I get to meet Hagon Rav Moshe Feinstein, the author of Igros Moshe, who has arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to be part of this conference, and I want to be Mekabel Panim, and I want to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Talmud Chacham. So that's what happened in the middle of the gathering, and the date was in 1964, the 13th of Av. Rav Moshe Feinstein was about to deliver his address, and with great koyach, Rav Lapian began to get out of his seat, standing up full coma. And when he saw Rav Moshe, he said the bracha, shechalak michachmaso lireyav, special bracha for the Talmidei Chachamim. And he was very, very excited. And that was that, you know, and he was very excited to stand up in front of a Talmud Chacham as well. So that's that story. Second story is an interesting one. It's a story from Rav Chaim Brim, who is a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. And Rabbi Brim went to, he was with the Chazon Ish, at his house one night, and it was just too late to go back to Yerushalayim, so he stayed on with the Chazon Ish as a guest. So, to his amazement, the Chazon Ish himself, and his brother-in-law, the Stipler, and the Stipler's wife, attended to his needs. So the Stipler and his wife carried the mattress and the bedding, and the Chazon Ish walked ahead of him to show him exactly where to place it. And the Chazon Ish even prepared a cup of water by the bed for Nagel Vasser in the morning. Rav Chaim Brim was pretty embarrassed, and he tried to stop them. So the Chazon Ish stopped him and said, since when does an Esrog have the right to tell its owner what to do with it? So the lekach of the story was obviously that the Chazon Ish said, listen, I'm really sorry, my Talmud, you are a Chefetz Shel Mitzvah at this point, I get to, you know, fulfill Hachnasas Orachim, and there's very little that you can do about it. So it's interesting. I would contrast that with a story that I had with one of my Rebbeim. When I was a young Rav, he and I had a discussion about a particular Shliach Tzibur who was, there's no way to sugarcoat it. He was awful. And he, was not particularly learned, and he often messed up his cheses and hayes, and it came to a point where it was so bad that he got up to return a sefer Torah to the Aron, and he said, Yechalalu es Shem Hashem, ki nizgav shmo levado, and that was when I had it. I couldn't take it any longer, and I had to discuss with my Rebbe, and my Rebbe, said to me, David, listen, remember, you know, I understand you're approaching this with all this, but remember that this is a person and not an esrog, which sounds almost like the exact opposite of what Chazon Ish said. This person is a chefza, and my Rebbe said no. So I could probably distinguish the two stories as follows. When it comes to being mechaved somebody, we can treat them like a chefza shel mitzvah. It's not impersonal to give kavod to somebody. It's just saying that I have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. This is not the same sort of category of, you know, that classic question that we ask, you know, why can't we say a bracha on stucca? Because maybe it'll embarrass people and everything. This is just saying, listen, I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah with you and I'm pleased to do it. And it may have been slightly overstating to treat a person as a chefza. Masha'in Cain, when you're looking at a shliach tzibur, obviously they're davening for the oven for a reason, and they're sensitive, and they're thoughtful, and if we treat them like an esrog, we might forget that, unlike an esrog, this individual has feelings. So we can understand that both of them really are cutting in the same direction, to the kavod of the other person. Sometimes it's a kavod of them to treat them more a little bit like a chefza shel mitzvah, and sometimes it's a kavod to not treat them like a chefza shel mitzvah. On to our thought question for the week, and you can deal with this, and then we'll try to do our divrei Torah. So, in Lamed Yud Gimel Tetesvav, v'zeh yednu, kol over al pikudim machatzitza shekel. You know, everybody gives machatzitza shekel, ha'ashir lo yarba v'adalo yami. The rich doesn't give more, the poor doesn't give less. So the question is, why does it need to say that? Right? Is there not a, without the Azhara, isn't there an issue of Baltosif? Right, and we're not allowed to give less either, because that would be Baltigra. So then why are we getting all so excited about saying more about don't give more, don't give less? Okay, let's now continue with the Divrei Torah. I have a handful of Altar of Kelms. The concept of Kshius Oref comes up in the Parsha. Rashi says that they would turn their back to those who would be giving them Tochacha and rejecting to pay attention and to listen. So the Altar of Kelm says that the real fundamental malfunction of Kshius Oref is the inability to do tshuva, is when you are completely closed, then there's no way for you to change anything. With respect to the Shviras HaLuchos, that happened on Shavuot Asar B'Tammuz. So the Altar of Kelm said, these are a bunch of little sound bites. The Altar of Kelm said there that this is kind of a sign for the time of the year, where we begin, start thinking about doing tshuva in a even more significant way, should start around the 17th of Tammuz. Regarding the Shviras HaLuchos itself, it's really a remarkable thing. The Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu received no tzivui, no command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to break the Luchos. Rather, he made a Kav HaChomer on his own will. I mean, he said for Korban Pesach, a Nochri can't eat from it. And therefore, if by one mitzvah, we're going to keep an outsider from participating, even more so if all of Yisrael is, mishumadim for Avodah Zarah, then I should break all the luchos and make sure that they don't keep this mitzvah either. So Moshe Rabbeinu just did a Kal Vachomer. So if so, the Altar of Kelm says we need to really, really build within us Shikul Hadas. I would be Mosif Mishali. The same pattern happened with Shaul HaMelech. This is kind of, back in Purim mode by Shaul HaMelech. He made a Kal Vachomer himself, talking about the Rachmanis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and extending it for why he wasn't going to eradicate all of Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu had a svara and got a yashakoch shashibarta. Shaul had a svara and he didn't. So what would be the distinction in between the two? One approach that I saw written in the name of Sfas Emes was that one is self-serving and one's not. By Moshe Rabbeinu, it's completely not self-serving. Breaking the Luchos was breaking his legacy, whereas maybe being a Rachman of a statesman for Shaul was building his legacy. Now on to Mecheni Nami Sifrecha, Asher Kasavta. He says, the Chachamim don't think of themselves, and their legacy. This is kind of dovetails on what we were just talking about. Rather, Ratzon Hashem. So the Gro said he was willing to, for example, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to be erased from the book. The Gro said, for example, that he would be willing to give up all of Olam Haba just to be able to do a mitzvah. And the Reish Chochma says that if there was a switch, the people who did Avirus would go to Olam Haba, and the people who did mitzvos would go to Gehenim, he would still want to go, would still want to do mitzvos, because that was Ratzon Hashem. And that's, Moshe Rabbeinu's attitude, and this all attitude is we're always thinking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're always thinking about the betterment of Klal Yisrael, we're not thinking about ourselves. That's the model. So, last comment, which is, kind of a very interesting one, is that Yehoshua is called a Nar. He's called a child, but it's not because of his biological age, says the Altar of Kelm. Rather, it's that he wanted to learn like a Nar. He had this attitude that he really wanted to come and learn. And that's, an attitude that maybe we should also build. Last thing is the Mivchar HaPninim, a very interesting line. V'tziva Chacham Livno. Bini, the Chacham said to his child, my son, Alti Chacham B'Dvarim. So this means don't you know, be working on riddles and mind games and puzzles and all these other things, meaning, you know, in the parlance of our time, don't play the Wordle, right? And become a genius in the Wordle or chess or anything. Ach, he a chacham b'maisa. Be a chacham who can turn his chacham into his chachma into something which is practically creating Ratzon Hashem and mitzvos. Ki a chachma shebamaisa, practical, practiced chachma to'il le'olam haba, it will benefit you to the next world. And if it's just words, bekan tisha'er, it will stay here. Meaning to say, let's use our chachma for nitzchias. Have a wonderful Shabbos.